Lord, we praise you for your word. Yes, we already go on to chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2. And John who at that time already is much older than many of us, he made a wonderful beginning. Chapter 2, he starts by saying, my little children. This is a word that John uses quite often in his epistle to talk to the saints, to the believers. Why does he say, my little children? It shows that he has a relationship of life that is expressed here. John brings us back to life. And that's why he calls the believers, especially the young believers, he doesn't just call them his brothers, but his children, little children. And why does John write to his little children? The reason is, verse 1, the reason he himself gives us, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. Amen. That's a word for the little children. Why? Because children always sin. They do so many mistakes. They lose their patience. They don't listen to the parents. The first word many children learn is it yes? For sure I will do that? No, the first word is no. I won't do this. Yeah. And why? Because they are little children. And many times when I bring my little daughter somewhere to be taken care of, I tell her, when you go there, obey. Don't do any silly things. Do not sin. Why? Because a little child sins often and does a lot of mistakes. And this is what John tells the little children. He has to tell them not to sin. But how is it possible to fulfill such a word, not to sin? It is so wonderful that here we now talk about life. And once we were born again from the Spirit, we are born again in our spirit. So since our being born again, we have something in us that does not sin, and that is our spirit. Since we were born again, there is a part in us that does not sin. We can read that in chapter 3, verse 9. It says, whoever has been born of God does not sin. Or it also says, does not live in sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. It's not just who has been born of God, but what is born of God cannot sin. So what is there in us that it was born of God? It is our spirit. Our spirit has been born again by God and cannot sin. And once again, chapter 5, verse 18, we know that whoever is born of God, what does it say? Does not sin. Praise the Lord. Everything that is born of God does not sin. And in the Gospel of John, tells us we are born of the Spirit. And what is born of the Spirit? That is Spirit. And that does not sin. Isn't that wonderful? So in us, there is a part that cannot sin. And that means it is indeed possible to overcome sin. Otherwise, John could not write, I write to you that you may not sin. But the requirement for us not to sin is that we walk by the Spirit. Because the Spirit in us that's been born again is without sin, but we have to learn to walk by Him. That's what Galatians 5, verse 16, he says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the only way not to sin and not to fulfill the lust of the flesh is to walk in the Spirit, because the Spirit is without sin, born of God. But do we do this all the time? Do we always walk in the Spirit? Unfortunately not. If we were walking in the Spirit all the time, we would not have so many problems with sin. That's why the Word tells us, every time something rises up in us and wants to sin, we need to kill the deeds of the flesh and work out our own salvation. Why? Because if we walk in the flesh or in our fallen self, then sin so quickly. And the Word even tells us that sin dwells in our flesh. So, as long as we walk in the flesh, there's always the possibility that we sin. So there is a doctrine called a sinless perfection, but meaning that we as human beings can become sinless. That is not true, because sin is still in our flesh, but we can overcome it by walking in the Spirit. Oh Lord. That's why John, in chapter 2, he starts off by saying that they should not sin. But as it is with little children, they still sin. That's why he continues, if anyone sins. Even for the older ones, it's true. If anyone sins. So that means there is still the possibility that we sin, that we still sin. But it is so wonderful, just like we do it with our children. So once they did something evil or fell, they sinned, we don't kick them out and tell them, goodbye, you are not welcome anymore. No, what do? We receive them and we restore them. And this is exactly what the Lord does. He says, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. It's so wonderful that the Lord makes intercession for us. Also, Hebrews tells us He is the high priest who lives forever to intercede for us. He even wants to save us to the uttermost. Praise the Lord. In Romans 8 it says, Romans 8 verse 33, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God. What does he do there? Who also makes intercession for us. Amen. The Lord is our advocate who makes intercession for us. And he is so different from what Satan does. Satan condemns the brothers. The Lord makes intercession. But the devil always uses sin as an opportunity to condemn us. In my experiences, he likes to do that, especially with the priests. So once somebody wants to serve as a priest and bring food to the Father, Satan finds a lot of reason to condemn. For example, in Zechariah 3. Zechariah 3, verse 1. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest. So here it's about the priest, the high priest even, how he stood before the angel of the Lord. And Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. That's what Satan does with the priests. He opposes them, he accuses them. But what does the Lord do? Verse 2, and the Lord said to Satan, does the Lord say, yep, Satan, you are right. He indeed is very dirty. Is that what the Lord said? No, the Lord said, he says, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. The Lord speaks for us. He's our advocate. He rebukes Satan and he saves us. And it's added here, is this not a brand plucked from the fire? This is the intercession the Lord makes for us. So the devil wants to burn us in the fire and fully destroy us. But the Lord's intercession pulls us out of the fire, out of all condemnation. Isn't it wonderful that we have an advocate? And the Lord accomplished everything to be this advocate. On which basis can the Lord speak for us? The basis is, he is not just our advocate, but he is also the propitiation of our sin. Going back to 1 John chapter 2. What a wonderful advocate. He's an advocate that at the same time is the propitiation. He paid the price. He took everything upon him to carry our sins away. He's the Lamb of God. Such an advocate you don't find in the world. If you hire a lawyer, it is a very expensive thing. You have to pay a lot, thousands of euros, just to write a letter. But the Lord is not just our advocate. He paid the full price. He is the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 2, verse 2. So, the Lord died for us as the true sin offering. And that's why the book of Leviticus shows us the sin offering and the trespass offering. Such a way that God gave us through Christ as our offerings to overcome sinful deeds and sin itself. And many saints ask again and again, what is the difference between the sin offering and the trespass offering? The sin offering saves us from sin as the root in us that causes us to sin. But the trespass offering cleanses us from the sinful deeds. That's why we need both. We need both offerings all the time. I thank the Lord for the reality of all the offerings. And Paul said, just because the Lord accomplished that, that's not an excuse for us to sin. Paul says that be far from us. We don't want to sin. It's not our intent to sin, but sometimes we fall into it. And if that happens, we have a wonderful advocate and a wonderful propitiation, the righteous Lord Jesus, who paid the full price for us. Praise the Lord for that. And we don't want to stop at this propitiation. We talked about life, and life is characterized by growth and progress, and the Lord wants us to go on. That's why in 1 John 2, verse 3, there's a wonderful stage of growth now. It says, now by this we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. We don't just want to remain in the same sins and sin again, be cleansed, do the same sin again, be cleansed again, and so on. No, but the life in us should grow. It should mature. And one sign, one proof of this growth is verse 3, that we keep His commandments. That is a proof of our love for God. And it's a proof that we know Him. Praise the Lord. We want to keep His commandments. But in order to keep His commandments, we need a strong inner man. When our spirit is born again, but not strengthened, and has no strength, and we are so weak, how should we keep His word? It is so important that we grow and mature and have a strong inner man. That's why in chapter 2, if we continue to read, in verse 12, there's another verse for the little children. It says, because your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. But in verse 14, it says, I have written to you young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. That shows there are stages of growth. We want to grow, that we are not just born again, but we want to have a strong inner man to keep His commandments. We like to do what is good in His eyes. And it's indeed so. The more we know the Lord, the more we experience Him, the less we will fall. That's what Peter said. Peter said, if you do these things, 2 Peter, you will surely never fall or never stumble. What a wonderful promise. Amen. And then 1 John 2, verse 4, it says, He who says, that's a sentence John repeats a lot, He who says, it's not so much what we say, but much more that we indeed keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Oh, Lord Jesus. So to keep the Lord's commandments has to do with the love for Him. And if we just say, if we say we know Him, but then we say His commandments are from the Old Testament, have nothing to do with us, John says we are liars. We don't do the truth. Yes, we may be born again, but we can still lie. Then we are born again liars. We're born again, but we lie. And this is what the Lord has to deal with us. That's why in the Songs of Ascents, this group of psalms from 120 to 134, that's what the first psalm starts with. Psalm 120 talks about salvation from lying lips and a deceitful tongue. That is the foundation for us to grow in life. Going back, 1 John chapter 2, verse 5, but whoever keeps His word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. This is indeed a proof of love. So we wrote here on the outline, this word perfected here doesn't just mean that it's done, but it means accomplished, fulfilled. So that means the love of God is accomplished or fulfilled in us the more we keep His word. So every time we obey the Lord, keep His commandments, the love of Christ in us will be accomplished a bit more. More and more until the whole fullness is there. This is our goal. Ephesians 3 said the same thing. Verse 19, it says, we want to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Praise the Lord. So we let this love of God fill us more and more, bit by bit. How? by exercising with the strong inner man to keep his word. And then in verse 6 we have another stage here. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Wow, this is not just... Now, at that point, you don't just want to keep his word, but the growth of life is expressed in our conduct. We see the Lord in our conduct. Oh, Lord, what a wonderful word. We want to walk as he walked. And then, beginning verse 7, we have the highest stage of life, the love of God. But this is what we see tonight. Amen.